Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Hey, folks, you know, I got to tell you, companies that are doing well, they ought to take care of their people because the people are taking care of the job and making them money. And one of the organizations I'm talking about is ATI. And, you know, my goodness, steelworkers working there, each one of them is bringing in about $450,000 worth of income to the company. They're working hard. They're working long shifts. They're working long hours under incredibly difficult environmental situations. I imagine just being a couple of feet away from molten steel, just saying. To help us talk about this and trying to figure out why steelworkers have been locked out from ATI in a number of different locations here in the United States, we've got Fran Arabia, who is with Local 1196. He's local president. Also, Walter Hill. He's with District 10 of the United Steelworkers. And Fran, Walter, welcome to Union Edge.
Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
Appreciate you guys being here today. First of all, you guys have a lot of community support, which is a wonderful thing to see. We were talking with Matteo's Pizza the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact, and it's a very awesome thing to see the community coming out for you guys, but coming out as strongly as they are right now. And Walter, you're with District 10. You're part of the negotiating team from the United Steelworkers. When this whole thing started with ATI, the contract was going up. And they came to the United Steelworkers with 145 demands, i.e. things that they wanted to change in the contract. Who does that?
Well, that's what we'd like to know. we're kind of in a unique situation. The history of negotiating with ATI, formerly known as Allegheny Ludlum,
right.
The history has been pretty stable between the company and the union, and this was really quite a turn from the norm of how we normally did business. We've had a pretty good working relationship with the company, but no, they basically came to the table. They issued 144 items on the contract language alone on June the 3rd. We had started to talk on May the 19th, and their first proposal just basically gutted the contract.
Yeah, I mean, how many lines are in the contract?
Right.
I mean, if you're trying to pull 144 of them out, there's not much left of that contract, no matter what you do. Fran, let me ask you this. Your folks are working 12-hour shifts, 60, 70, 80 hours a week.
That's correct.
They're working two jobs, basically.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And it's 12-hour shifts, so when you get off, you got enough time to go home, grab something to eat, grab 6, 7, 8 hours worth of sleep, turn around and come back.
That's correct. That's right.
You know, now you get, the company came to you and asked you, can you help us out? Will you do this? Right?
Well, going back in time from 2012 when I became the union president of Local 1196, the hot strip mill agreement, which was implemented from 2008, that was the agreement that Walt Hill actually was the union president at that time that negotiated that. So I had to work off of that hot strip mill agreement. Now, there's no blueprint anywhere in the United States for the project that we were to work on. So we couldn't go to any company anywhere. Matter of fact, to my knowledge, this was the biggest investment east of the Mississippi, $1.2 billion.
Okay.
So we didn't have a blueprint to work off of, from training, from scheduling, from manpower, nothing. So we sat down with the company and at our meetings each week, and we worked through these issues. Now, as a union president, I have to honor the contract book, and there were so many times that truthfully, it bothered me because right. I knew I was stretching the contract book to make this work, tweaking it, bending it, but not breaking mm-hmm. the contract, all right? And I would go home and it would be on my mind. I would go home after work on my mind. I'm cutting the grass, it's on my mind. I go to bed on my mind. I wake up, it's on my mind. And then I would come back the next day and I would say to my committee, my negotiating committee, am I doing the right thing? I'm a union president. I shouldn't be doing certain things because of this. But yet, the big picture was, it was for my members, it was for the community, and it was for the company.
You know, here's one of the things I want to talk about very quickly. There's been a long-term relationship with this company through the various different owners, okay? And Walt, you're saying that there was a good relationship, albeit it was a give-and-take relationship, but it was a working relationship. Steelworkers have been very proactive, insisting that steel companies adopt the newer technologies to be viable for 20, 30, 50 years down the road, not the old technologies that are dead. You guys, Fran, have had this working relationship. You're working with the company. You understand this is a new way of doing things. This is, you know, supposedly bigger, better, and faster, so on and so forth. And you're trying to work with the company to make sure that the company's profitable and the jobs stay there. And while you're working 12-hour shifts, you know, maybe we can pick up some new people, you know, this kind of stuff. That sounds like your members, the members of the United Steelworkers 1196, are working real hard to support this company. And good employees support their company. But you turn around at next contract time, and they've got 144 demands that they want cut out of the contract?
Right. If I may, that's the frustrating part to me, because from the union side, I did everything to get the members trained. Now, keep in mind, we had to keep an original facility, a rolling mill, running that was in operation since 1950. And at the same time, we had to go with new technology to get our members trained. So we had to keep an old facility running, yet train people. So what happened was, the old facility, my members had to work 12-hour shifts, 6 and 7 days a week, plus extra hours if needed, while a crew would go over to the new building. And we did that for over a year and a half. And then on the other side of it, we put the bids up for certain jobs into that facility, but yet we have 45 days on a bid to decide if we want to accept a bid or not. So we had to take people and figure out, okay, are these guys, they have 38 years, they're only going to work another year. Do they truly want to go over there, or are they just going to take a look?
Mm-hmm.
So we went, you know, if they were going to kick the tires and then they were going to leave after 44 days, that would have delayed the process by months. So altogether, from my negotiating committee and the company, we sat down and we worked this out. We said, you know what, let's get the guys that maybe just want to take a peek, kick the tires, let them get over there first, ahead of schedule, before we actually had to implement this. Now, keep in mind also, you had contractors from all over the world, Germany, Switzerland, Italy, et cetera, and that technology in that building, my members had to be trained on it. So not only did they have a language barrier understanding them, but they had to sit down with new technology to understand how to operate it. Now, and I'm not bragging for my members, but we have quality people, and any steel mill has quality people, but the members in my hot rolling mill, they know how to roll the metal. So those people were critical to get that training done immediately. So once they got over there, they actually picked it up very quickly. So they were fully implemented. So we did everything ahead of schedule. If I went by the contract book, if I went by the bids, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
What you did is exactly what too many companies are saying they can't get done. Okay,
I appreciate that.
You know, and you guys said, okay, look, we've got a contract. This is a new and exciting time. We've got this brand new mill. We collectively here, as the employees, are going to figure out how we are going to do the best job we can to support this transition. And you got your members to buy off on this.
That's exactly right.
Because quite frankly, if your leadership didn't get the members to buy off on this, then ATI would have had some real serious problems.
That's correct. That's true.
Okay. So you compromised, you went above and beyond the contract, and you got that done. And you know, that's the major complaint that we hear from signatory employers all over the place. It's, oh, well, we've got a contract and we can't break the contract, so we can't do this. No, you just proved that wrong. You just threw that one right out the window in a billion-dollar steel facility, okay? So you guys went above and beyond. Contract time comes up. And one of the things I want to point out is ATI is saying your members are making $96,000 a year. Wait a second. Time out. You're making $96,000 a year working two jobs.
Right.
Two jobs. So in other words, what's happening is your members are making about $45,000 a year.
Yeah, and if I may, let me put it in perspective. We have five job classes, and job class three is $25.04 an hour. So if you do the math, that's a little more than $50,000 a year.
Right.
Now, you put your incentives in there, you put your shift differential, you put your Sunday premiums, and you put your overtime in there. Yes, the costs are going to escalate.
Right.
So the average worker in my facility in Brackenridge, 2,080 hours is the average hours for a year. 2,500 hours is being conservative, but I've had members that literally have worked 1,000 or more of hours of overtime.
Yeah. So, and that's a decision that ATI made,
right?
As opposed to hiring new people,
right?
And trust me, there's plenty of experienced steel workers in the greater Pittsburgh area and elsewhere that they could have hired,
right?
But they say, okay, you're working two jobs. That's what we're doing. We're working two jobs here. Yeah. I just want to say this. Before we get any further, Fran, how do we find out more about the United Steelworkers and Local 1196?
They can call us at 724-224-9000. They can go to our website or they can go to our Facebook page, Local 1196.
And what's your website?
USW Local 1196.
1196.com.
Yeah, .com, yes.
Fantastic. We appreciate it. Hey, guys, listen, we're up against the clock. We've got to get going. We've got to move on. I appreciate it, but we will get you back here very shortly. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.